Good morning. It's 4th of April. Our first reading for the day is Numbers 19. I'm going to read to you selected paragraphs from Brother Harry Tennant's book, Moses, My Servant, in which he talks about the ritual of the red heifer. I read. Following God's reiteration of the standing of Aaron and his sons, there is the statute concerning the red heifer. The place of this ordinance in the record is not accidental. Many of the Israelites had recently been in contact with the dead. No doubt they had assisted in the burial of those who had been smitten by the plague from the Lord. Death had been round about them, and they had escaped. Their escape was but for a time. Many of them who had survived the terrors of that time would fall in this same wilderness. The red heifer was a powerful lesson concerning death and cleansing. Moses delivered the word to Aaron, who passed it on to Eleazar, who was ordered to carry it out. That alone was sufficient to make any Israelite ask, "Why does Eleazar perform this work? Why not Aaron?" Quite clearly, it was a work which Aaron could not do. Not because he was incapable of performing the acts of sacrifice and offering, but because another priest, the priest to come, was commanded to do it. The least that the Israelites saw was the insufficiency of Aaron. We can apply the principle to the Lord Jesus and find a fittingness in the symbol of his work. This ritual had to do with death. All who died were buried outside the camp. All who suffered from a scourge of leprosy were kept outside the camp. Death separated a man from God who dwelt in the tabernacle and cut him off from the camp of the living. Moreover, death was an uncleanness. This lesson was powerfully drawn by the pronouncement that all and every household thing which came into contact and close proximity with the dead were unclean. Any thinking man of Israel must have understood that despite all that the tabernacle and its worship could do for him, he would finally be unclean unless cleansing came from elsewhere. It took a week to cleanse the man made unclean by death, and he could not cleanse himself. Surely the discerning eye perceived man's absolute dependence on a merciful provision to make him clean. It took 7 days to be made clean. On the third day, the ashes of the heifer were mingled with running water and sprinkled with hyssop by a clean man upon the unclean. On the seventh day, the man washed himself and his garments and was clean at even. The man who was defiled by death and failed to comply with these laws of cleansing was cut off from his people. His defilement was made permanent. This then was the law of death and life, a kind of resurrection. Man's helplessness, the law's insufficiency, and God's grace meet together in this matter. How fitting then that this statute should have been specially promulgated at this time in Israel's history, the very time when they had been in the midst of death, and when a whole generation of them were under its sentence. Every day, in some part of the camp, someone would die. Some persons become unclean, the dead being buried by the living. And outside the camp, someone would be undergoing the ritual of outward cleansing, and feeling within the joy of returning to life in the camp. In this we know our place. Israel's need is ours, and there was no other way in which it could be met than by the Lord's special work for us. The writer to the Hebrews gathers up so many of these wonderful lessons and presents them to us as exhortations. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Thank you for listening.